This is Pastor Mike Hoggard coming to you from Studio 2014 with another Watchman video broadcast. We left off last week talking about the symbolism of the pyramid. We are dealing with principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, and high places, those four. This is still part of our fourth kingdom series and what God showed to Nebuchadnezzar and to Daniel in the day that Nebuchadnezzar had that vision, that fourth kingdom. And what we have been doing over the past 20-some-odd episodes of this is looking to the Scriptures for these amazing patterns that God reveals to us. And I've got something to share with you today, and I am not making this up. 15 minutes ago, right, and I already had my script already and all set, loaded into my iPad and ready to go, and 15 minutes ago, God showed me something from His Word that is going to lock everything in place for you. So I had to redo the script a little bit, load it back on here, and I am ready to go. We left off last week talking about the symbolism of the pyramid and the idea that it has on its base, it has 1, 2, 3, 4 sides to it. There's your relation to the fourth kingdom. The fourth kingdom is the exact opposite of God's kingdom. This represents cruel authority. God's rule represents kind and gracious authority. He rules in mercy. And so anyway, the four parts of that pyramid, the four sides, joining together at the top, and then there's something missing there. Something's going to rise up out of that, which is that all-seeing eye that you see here. Ano et coeptis novus ordo seclorum. He favors the birth of the conception of a novus ordo seclorum, a new world order. The new world order is the fourth kingdom. There's a slide that I'm going to throw in here. I saw it yesterday. I don't know how it fits other than it relates to the Iron Kingdom, the fourth kingdom. I was just kind of doing some research yesterday and I happened upon a particular website. Some people had written into me, said, Pastor Mike, what do you think about the comic book character, the Iron Man, being a representation of this fourth kingdom where it is iron mingled with miry clay, the miry clay being humanity, human beings, people, we are made from clay, the Iron Kingdom being the spiritual realm that comes down, rises up to rule over mankind. What do you think about the comic book character Iron Man being a representation of that? And I'm going, yeah, I kind of see the idea of the Iron Man. And then I found out yesterday that Iron Man is going to have a new suit. Guess where it comes from? I'm not making this up. He has a new suit. And in this particular case, Iron Man has worked and developed with nanotechnology, these very, very little, tiny, teeny little computer robots that can do just about anything. He's working with nanotechnology. Take a look at this graphic. And Iron Man's new iron costume is on the inside of him. And when he calls for it, it's going to come out of him and cover him. Now we're talking fourth kingdom, because the iron is mixed with the miry clay and it comes out and it's his covering, and there's all sorts of theological ramifications for this. And so again, maybe this should have been part of the Comic Con series, but I didn't know it then. I know it now and thought I'd throw it in there just so you know that what God said was going to happen, the devil, it seems like he's just now thinking it up, how it's going to work and how he's going to do it. And he's sending his signals out there. Let me show you this graphic here. And above it is a quote from Manly Hall, The Secret Teachings of All Ages. Here's what Manly Hall said about the symbolism of the Great Pyramid. He said, the base of the pyramid further represents the four material elements or substances from the combinations of which the quaternary body of man is formed. Let me explain to you what he's saying. This is in the direct context with what we've been talking about. Principalities and powers, these represent elemental powers or the elements of wrath. The idea of the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. Somebody sent me some information yesterday that's going to show up in this Watchman broadcast of earth, air, fire, and water actually being taught the way it is in the church. I'm going to show it to you. But the four material elements that combine together to form, he mentioned the quaternary body of man. In other words, the body of man that is in four parts, and they come together, and when they come together, something rises up out of them. And so Manly Hall was teaching us that the pyramid represents the human body with the two hands and the two feet, and then something, the head, rises up out of that. There is, and I knew this in the back of my mind, there is a fantasy role-playing game called Magic: The Gathering. Now, let me just explain a few things about role-playing games. Some of you probably, you say, you know, Pastor, I don't get that whole thing. When I was in college, role-playing games were just starting to really emerge. You had Dungeons and Dragons. And then once that took off, others in the late 70s, early to mid 80s, that's when it really started coming to fruition. I remember walking in on some guys at my Bible college that were playing a fantasy role-playing game. And you say, well, it's just make-believe, this and that and the other. I don't agree with that. I don't think it's just make-believe. I think that it is instructing and training men, and probably ladies, on the basics and even some of the advanced techniques of wizardry, witchcraft, being a warlock, magic, sorcery, all of the, a necromancer, all of the, and dragons, dungeons and dragons, all of the things that God told us to not have anything to do with. You have these young people, and especially those who are in church who should know better, whose pastors should say, don't be doing that. And their pastors won't, because their pastors play fantasy role-playing games, either with boards and die, or they're playing it on computer, they're playing it online, they're living out these little imaginative fantasy ideas that I believe, going into the minds of these people, it's going to come to fruition one of these days. Anyway, here is a role-playing game called Magic: The Gathering. That's what we're going to be dealing with today. Here is a quote-unquote church called The Gathering. Now, I know you're not supposed to judge a book by its covers. I know you're not supposed to do that. But what we're seeing is a replacement in churches of biblical, not just biblical ideas, but biblical phrases and words. We're seeing a replacement with New Age concepts and New Age ideas. And so I wouldn't just pass judgment upon this particular church called The Gathering simply because of the logo and the name. I would look at what comes out of their mouth and what it is they say. But we start to see a lot of the same things where the church is meeting with the New Age movement. New Age rhymes with sewage. And they're meeting with the New Age movement, and they're joining together. And the same concepts that I read in Marilyn Ferguson's The Aquarian Conspiracy are the same concepts and the same wording and phrasing that we start seeing in the churches everywhere. This idea of the four elements, you see them here: earth, air, fire, and water. And the concept is that these are all separate and they're opposites. In a magic ritual of some kind, whether it's in Wicca or in wizardry, or it's in some of the pagan cultures, or it's in the mystery religions, or it's in Freemasonry, or it's in, let's go ahead and show Marilyn Ferguson here. It's in the New Age movement, or it's in the church. Get ready. It has the idea that these elements are separated, and if we bring them together, if we can gather them all together in this ritual, then something called the fifth element, the essence or the quintessence, the ether, the spirit, is going to rise up out of the four and take its place of dominion. And that's what the elements are all about. And remember what Paul said in the book of Galatians. Paul mentioned these elements. And he said, you keep days and years and months and seasons or something like that. And he said, these are the rudimentary elements that you're holding on to. You're holding on to this world, and you're trying to make your religion based upon things that are in this world. And he said, God's got a way better idea for you. Instead of you trying to hold on to flesh and blood, which cannot inherit the kingdom of God, then why don't you grab a hold of God's Spirit and His Word? And he said, it's just far better. So we have the replacement, which is the concept of earth, air, fire, and water, the elements that will burn up with a fervent heat, Peter said, or you have the real gospel, which gives everlasting life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Here is what somebody sent me yesterday. I looked at this and I'm saying, man, I appreciate that. I think God wanted, and these are some of our Canadian friends, God wanted them to see that. They knew that I was looking into these things, and they sent them to me. And I want to tell you something I appreciate. I absolutely appreciate God's people all over the world that are now, they're looking in the Bible, and God is training them to see things that they never really paid attention to before. They take the idea of a watchman seriously. They understand that God has made them watchmen. And there is something, and maybe they don't know how to put it all together the way God has helped me and some others. But they watching things, they send it to me, Pastor, this is what we see. You need to take a look at this. And I'm going to show you this. This was from the website of the Mennonite Church in Canada. Now, we had talked about how the idea of the elements, earth, air, fire, and water, could be seen in all of the classic mystery religions and pagan cults that were in the world. It's in Greek mythology, Roman mythology. You can see it in old Babylonian, Sumerian mythology. You can see the Jews have it. Even the, as we refer to them here in America, the Native Americans, we used to call them Indians, because when Columbus landed, he thought he was in India. And he called them, you know, they later called it the East India Company. They thought they were in India. So they called the natives Indians. And it just stuck. We call them Native Americans here in America, up in Canada. They're referred to as First Nations people. But they are the native people who were in this land up until 1500, 1600, 1700s when the white Europeans started to come and settle the land. They already had this doctrine or this concept of these four elements and the Mother Earth that gives them all birth. And we showed that symbol. And if you take a look here, the Mennonite Church at Canada, they're going to put on what's called a native assembly. Ears to earth, eyes to God. I want you to think about it. Earth, they're going to learn, and I've read this website. The concept here is that they're going to learn the mystery. Think about that, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. They're going to learn a mystery of God by combining two religions. That's why they have ears to the earth. They want to hear from the elements with their eyes to God. Heaven and earth joined together. You hang on to that concept, okay? And notice the turtle. On the back of the turtle, you have, look at the symbolism of it. You have the turtle doing the praise and worship thing, okay? And his head's coming out of it, out of the shell, you know, his head is hidden. And the turtle is a sacred symbol amongst the Native Americans and First Nations. Why? Because it's something that's concealed, and then it's revealed. And you see the four limbs of the turtle, earth, air, fire, and water, and the head coming out of it. But look at the design on the back of the turtle's back. You can clearly see that it's divided up into four parts. It looks like a cross, and it represents earth, air, fire, and water. And if you think, well, Pastor, I think you're making too much of that, here is one of the speakers who's speaking at the Mennonite Church Native Assembly 2014. Her topic is water, fire, wind, and earth. Creator's medicine chest. We will look at the four elements, fire, water, wind, and earth, separately and collectively in relation to the Word of God, and learn about the many ways the great mystery works to provide healing and restoration for us. Who's the great mystery? It's not Christ. It used to be way back in the book of Psalms and Ezra and 1 Kings, but it's not a mystery anymore. He's not the great mystery. He is the revealed Son of God, and His Word and His doctrine and His teachings is manifest. It is made known. It is singular in its source. That means it comes from the Scripture, and the Scripture then guides us outward. But these people are referring to the religious objective as the great mystery. That's why the turtle is the representation of that, because it's in a shell. We don't know what's in there. And then it rises up out of the shell, and you see the four elements, earth, air, and fire, and water. And she is teaching. She's describes her, Anita Keith. She is half Mohawk, half British descent. And so what she's doing, what they're doing at this conference, you can go there and check it out. They are combining earth worship and elemental magic that was practiced among the First Nations, Native Americans, elemental magic and earth worship. They're combining it with God and His religion. And I'm telling you, that doesn't work. Paul said, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? That's what a totem is. It's an idol. It represents the ancestors, the dead ones. Paul said, what concord hath Christ with Belial? None. There was no agreement. You remember the devil took Jesus after Jesus had been in the wilderness 40 days, tempted him three times, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, tempted him three times, trying to get him into an arrangement or an agreement. You see all these kingdoms? I will give them to you if you'll fall and worship me. That was the contract. And Paul said they didn't agree. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, that is all the kingdoms and that's kind of what I want. Sure, why not? I'll fall and worship you. You just give me the kingdoms because I'm the good guy. Had Jesus bowed before Lucifer, he would have ceased to be the good guy, I guarantee you. And he didn't. He just quoted Scripture and he says, now go away, little devil. Go away, little serpent. And the devil left him for a time. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Amen? Bet he likes to come back. But anyway, earth, air, fire, and water being joined together, and now we're going to learn what earth, air, fire, and water separately and collectively are going to teach us about a great mystery. Let me show you a graphic of the great mystery. In fact, I could pull out Morals and Dogma by Fat Albert Pike. And Morals and Dogma is 800 and some odd pages of here are all these symbols and we're not going to tell you what they mean because it's a mystery. It's a secret. And of course, the Masons now are restructuring themselves and they're re-promoting themselves and they're telling everybody, we are not a secret society. We are a society with a secret. I wanted to know what that secret was. They call it the Grand Arcanum, the Great Mystery, the Great Work, the Philosopher's Stone. The Sorcerer's Stone, that's what they called it. But they won't come out and say what it is. So they hide it and they conceal it in symbolisms. And I want you to look at this particular symbol. I've separated out and zoomed in on the sides. Notice these two pillars. And at the top and at the bottom, you have triangles on there. Those triangles, and notice that one set points up and one set points down. And one set is open in the middle, and one set has a line drawn through in the middle. These four triangles, think of what a pyramid is made of. Four triangles joined together. These four triangles represent the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. We saw that in one of the previous Watchmen, I think it was a couple videos ago, where in alchemy relies upon understanding the four elements of earth, air, fire, and water in order to turn lead into gold or turn mortals into immortals. Gods, ye shall be as gods, ye shall not surely die. That's what the devil said. But I want to look at this graphic and this image a little bit closer. Notice that on top of one pillar, the J pillar, which stands for Jachin, you have a sun. Over on the B pillar, which is Boaz, you have the moon. Notice that they sort of gather together, pater and mater, which means father and mother. Notice at the top, superius. At the bottom, inferius. It's written upside down. Notice that every element and every part of this idea joins together in the middle. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to zoom in on these two pillars with the four elements on them. These two pillars, Fat Albert,
hey, I'm a Mason,
talks about these two pillars, Jachin and Boaz. And he essentially says in here that the secret of Masonry is hid inside of Jachin and Boaz. The secret to a Mason's work is in Jachin and Boaz. And remember, the Bible referenced Jachin and Boaz. They were the two pillars that were in the temple. Think of what the temple is according to the Bible, according to the New Testament. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So it's the human body being the temple. Jachin and Boaz were 18 cubits tall, plus they had a 5-cubit capital or cap or chapiter, is how the King James says it, on top of them. That makes their total length 23 cubits and 23 cubits. 46 cubits, number of chromosomes, where what is stored. What is inside the chromosomes? What is hidden inside of the two columns? Deoxyribonucleic acid. I want you to remember that, because that's part. God didn't just show me that, but he showed me something that's going to make sense out of all this. We're going to zoom in to these two pillars, and I want you to take a good look at them. Notice the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. And notice that there is a vine that is wrapping around both pillars, both columns. Think of what Deuteronomy 32 says. Think of what Moses was teaching the Israelites just before he died and left them. He said, "There for our rock, capital R, is not as their rock." You know what he's doing? He's teaching you the doctrine of the difference between Christ, who is the rock, upon this rock I will build my church, and the little R rock, which is the Antichrist. They're different. And then our rock is not as their rock, and our vine, who is our vine? Jesus said, "I am the vine and ye are the branches." Our vine is not as their vine, for their vine is the vine of Sodom and the grapes thereof of Gomorrah. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of vipers and the cruel venom of asps. So you think about that. Here, Christ, the true vine with his branches and his fruit, that's the fruit of the Spirit that is being born again, and that pure new wine grape juice gives life. And he said, the other vine, it's got poison in it. It's got serpent poison in it. Think of the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. He was poisoning Eve with his 46 words in the King James Bible. It's all going to make sense here in a little bit. But notice that these vines are wrapped around these columns like what? Like, in fact, let me show you a picture of it. That's what that is. It's DNA. Let's go back to Jachin and Boaz. That graphic is showing you the great mystery that earth, air, fire, and water conceals. And they're going to teach it to the church. Now we're going to get an understanding of the real God by saying that he's hidden in earth, air, fire, and water. That's what they're teaching at the Mennonites, for crying out loud. The people, you know, some of them ride buggies still. They're teaching this. And I've been seeing this stuff move into the Mennonite church, as well as many other, what we would think would be doctrinally pure, or at least fundamental in their doctrine. The devil is pushing in and pushing in and pushing in as one group after another leaves the doctrines of the scriptures. They have these false doctrines of devils and seducing spirits moving right into them. But anyway, that's what you're looking at in Jachin and Boaz. You're looking at deoxyribonucleic acid. Now, let me show you this graphic here. Let's go back up and notice on Jachin and Boaz the four triangles. And here's what happened. Here's what it looks like. There's several ways of joining them together. You can take them out in four directions and fold them all up, and you have a pyramid. Or you can take the two of them that are pointing up overlap them, and take the two that are pointing down and overlap them, and then bring them down together to match the lines, and that's what you have. It's called the Seal of Solomon or the Star of David. I find no such reference in the Scriptures to any Star of David. That didn't come from God. That symbol right there represents the fusion of two things that are opposite. Remember, earth and air are opposites. Fire and water are opposites, unless, of course, you drink whiskey. They call that fire water. The old Indians did, all right? They're opposites, and yet they are designed to come together and join together. So that's what you have with these two symbols. Notice this one on the right-hand side. That is from Eliphas Levi's book. And notice that he put an ox, a lion, a man, and an eagle in there. Where does that come from? That comes from Exodus chapter 1. That's what Ezekiel saw as the basis, what was holding the throne of God. These four creatures, these four cherubs, represent in the human heart. They represent the human heart itself. The heart is the throne or the seat of authority. Something is going to be in your heart and ruling you. Something is going to be in charge of you. The devil wants to own that chair, that seat. I have Christ in that throne, the four chambers of my heart. I have Christ on my throne, and the devil can't have it. But the devil wants it. He says, I will sit in the seat of God. I will be like the Most High. And that's why you see these four living creatures there. They represent, in the occult realm, they represent the four elements that are coming together. Now, let's go back and let's look at deoxyribonucleic acid. And I want you to notice that we have the two strands of DNA. They're made of phosphate and sugar. Sugar is energy. The entrance of thy words giveth light, the Bible says, and the words of God taste sweet like honey. That's so neat. So you have the two rungs of DNA, and they're joined together by hydrogen bonds. And they come together with four base pairs, adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. We're going to look more closely at those four in just a little bit. But I want you to get that picture. The idea that when the RNA is single, it's going to join together and make a double helix strand. Think of the four elements of witchcraft, of paganism, of the New Age, of, okay, we can just say it now, the modern church. Think of the four elements coming together and something rising out of it. Do you remember back in the 90s, Ted Turner said, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to have a new gospel out there for all these little kiddies. We're going to turn all the children in the world into Gaia-worshipping environmentalists, tree huggers like Al Gore is and like I am and me and Jane Fonda. You remember that show developed by Ted Turner? It's called Captain Planet. And if you want, you can see this on YouTube. The original episode is on YouTube. And it has Mother Gaia, who is weeping, and she is so sad because they're running bulldozers over her land, and she doesn't like it, and is cutting down all the trees. And so she hand selects these teenagers. And they represent earth, air, fire, and water. And then she goes ahead and throws in ether or spirit on top of it. And by themselves, they are so helpless to stop these evil men from walking and doing things to the land and not letting the little butterflies on the daisies grow. But when they come together and join their power rings, earth, air, fire, and water, and ether, then Captain Planet rises up from the depths, and he's going to say, I mean, look at this. By our powers combined, Captain Planet and the Planeteers. I wouldn't let my kids, my girls were little then, I wouldn't let them watch it. There's no way in the world I'd let them watch that stuff. They would have learned a different gospel. And I've tried to teach them the real one all their lives, and they've learned to depend on it. But notice Ted Turner had it right. By our powers combined, you know what he was doing? He was indoctrinating children into the religion of the Antichrist, which is elemental witchcraft, which Paul said, God hates it, don't do it. That's what he was doing. I saw this at a local, I think it was Kmart. I was just looking, just walking Sweetie Pie around different stores, and I was taking pictures of stuff, and I saw this one. This is Ninjago, Masters of Spin Jitsu or something like that. And these four ninja fighters, you can see it right here in order. They are air, fire, water, and earth. And here they are in order, the four elements. And this game is designed, it's just like the Del Taco bag, which I thought I had it here somewhere. But anyway, the Del Taco bag, where they're indoctrinating and training children into combining the four elements together so you can make the Terra Warrior, Captain Planet. Captain Planet and the design of this game, it's the same religion. It's the same idea, the same concept. And children all over the world, one way or another, are being indoctrinated into the secret teachings of the mystery religion. I even found, I was a big DC fan when I was a kid. I didn't see this particular comic book, but DC for a time developed as like an association with the Justice League of America. Now, I did used to watch the Justice League cartoon all the time. Wonder Twin Powers Activate. Some of you probably don't remember that. But anyway, there was a group that wanted to join with and help the Justice League. And they were called the four elements, and they represented, you can look at the picture here. They represented fire, earth, water, and air. And I want you to notice something. I want you to take a look at this. I want you to notice something. Fire, earth, and water. Notice they have the symbols on their belts. Fire, earth, and water are all women. Air is different. He's a man, or he's represented by a man. I can take you all through the Bible and show you that where you have four things in the Bible, three of them are the same, one's different. Go to the fiery furnace. You have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three of them are the same, but there's somebody that's different in there. He's called the fourth. He's the Son of God. He's different than the other three. Remember the women that gave birth to the 12 tribes of Israel? It was more than one. It was more than two. It was four. And Leah, Bilhah, and Zillah were different than Rachel. You know why? Because Rachel was Jacob's true love. He was the woman that he originally, or she was the woman that he originally wanted. But he had to take the other three gals along with it. So these three were not loved by Jacob, but Rachel was different. She's the fourth. Think about the parable of the seed and the sower. In the parable of the seed and the sower, you have the seed falling upon three particular groups, and all three of them produce no fruit to perfection whatsoever. But the fourth one's different. The fourth one is sown on good ground, and it produces some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. It produces the fruit unto perfection. It's a picture of being born again. It's a picture of the biblical salvation and everlasting life. Oh, I love that teaching. Think of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic Gospels, which means they look alike. And they are laid out like alike, and the stories are similar. John took a completely different route in writing his gospel. Did you ever wonder why? It's by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. God's teaching us patterns, and he's showing us that while three are the same, the fourth one is always going to be different. You just ponder that. Look back at this picture of the three women, and they are the same, but the one man is different. He's the prince of the power of the air. I want you to look at this. Where did I get that from? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Notice, you remember, it started out as a TV show, then it ended up as a feature film, and I think they're going to make a sequel to it anyway, but it was The Last Airbender. And did it have anything to do with elemental witchcraft? Absolutely. Notice that The Last Airbender, he's got power in his hand, he's got a mark on his forehead. And he has the power of the air. Who is he? He is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what the Bible says. And the idea behind the airbender is that there was these four young people that each one of them had power over a particular element. One had power of fire. One had power. Think of the Fantastic Four. Okay? I think there's a connection there. But anyway, earth, air, fire, and water. And the last airbender is this young boy. There's a mark on his forehead. He is the chosen one. He's the called one. He's the special boy. And he's the prince of the power of the air. And he is the spirit that is working through the children of disobedience. Why? What is the goal? The goal is to bring forth the Antichrist to rule in the last days, because the Antichrist is going to be the one that the dragon gives him his power, his seat, and great authority. And we are dealing with principalities and powers, and it's the elements of witchcraft right now that hold the power in this world. Now, let's go back and look at our DNA strand. And I want you to follow me on this, okay? And I'm going to show it to you how science explains it, and I'm going to show it to you here. All right? This is neat. You're going to get it. Remember the pyramid. And the four are separate, and they're opposites, and they come together, and they form the four-quartered body of man, and the head then rises out of it. All right? But while the four quarters are separate, the head cannot rise out of it. They have to come together. All right? And I'm going to show you. There is God's version and the devil's version, because the devil can only mimic what he sees of God. If Christ is the Son of Righteousness, then the Antichrist is the Son God. All right? If Jesus is the Lord of Light, then the devil's the Prince of Darkness. You see the opposites there. So watch this. Here's what DNA does. DNA is two separate strands that are joined together by the four base pairs, and the base pairs are opposite. And I just learned this yesterday, and I don't quite know what it means yet. But while, let's say, and I may get this wrong, while one of the base pairs is a pyridine molecule, the other one is a pyrimidine molecule. And the difference is how the other elements, like hydrogen and nitrogen and things like that, are attached to it. I don't remember the difference, but that's how it is. So while, let's say, thiamine is a pyridine, I may have that wrong, adenine is a pyrimidine. They're different. They're opposites, and they join together by a hydrogen bond. All right, they fuse themselves together. They bring this strand with this strand. Got it so far? And the same with cytosine and guanine. One is a pyrimidine. One is a pyridine molecule, which means they're opposite, but then they join together. All right. I'm going somewhere with this. And here's what I'm going to show you this. I am flesh. I am flesh and blood, and I was born of this earth. My body literally was composed of the elements and the rudiments of this world. I came from this earth. God formed Adam of the dust of the ground. He formed Eve from Adam, so therefore she has the same origin as Adam does. And everybody that now lives on the planet Earth right now comes from the dirt. We are flesh, we are low, we are down here. God is high and lifted up, and he is up there. My goal in life is to be with my Father, to be with God for all of eternity. I can't do that because the biggest part of my Bible, some 39 books, tell me that unless I keep every rule and law that God said, I cannot have eternal life with my Father. I've already ruined that. I broke that commandment a long, long, long time ago. All right? I've been a sinner since birth. I was born of sinners. My parents were born of sinners, and their parents were born of sinners. We all go back to Adam and Eve, who was sinners, made of dirt, made of this earth. The law was written on earthly stones. It was given by the hand of an earthly mediator, Moses. And the law promised an earthly inheritance, the land of Israel. So everything about these 39 books here represents what's of this earth and temporary. That's why the tabernacle, that's why they had to move from place to place. The Jews could never, in the 40 years, could never build a regular building and stick the poles down in the ground because it was temporary. And God was showing that everything here was temporal and it's going to be done away because the one they signed the contract with, the covenant, the law, God, died at Calvary. All right? Watch this. Everything here is spiritual. It's a covenant not written on tables of earthly stone, but written in the fleshy tables of what? The heart, which has four chambers. And it was not given to us, the new covenant was not given to us at the hands of an earthly mediator. It was brought down in the hands of God Himself. This covenant does not promise us an earthly inheritance, although that is part of it. The real inheritance is heaven above. Under this covenant, we have an earthly mother and we are shapen in iniquity and we are fastened in sin. And everything of the world is our mother. Under this covenant, Paul said in Galatians that Jerusalem, which is above, which is free, is the mother of us all. So you follow this here. And this, again, this covenant promises us eternal life instead of temporary life. And it promises us an eternal inheritance in heaven, not just a temporary earthly one. You see the difference here. This is of the earth, earthy. The first Adam was made of the earth. The second Adam, Christ, is the Lord from above. Isn't that beautiful? What joins the two? This testament deals strictly with my flesh. It deals with the lust of the flesh and the sins of the flesh. That's what this covenant deals with. It deals with this right here. What is it that joins the two together? Me being from down here, wanting to be with God from up there. What is it that joins the two together? These books right here in the middle. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've already seen and established that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are similar, like adenine, cytosine, and guanine. Thymine's different because it doesn't exist in single-strand DNA, which is called RNA. It's only when the two come together that the fourth one is changed from uracil to thymine. I know that's big science, but I'm just telling you, thymine's different, just like the Gospel of John is different. And so watch this. We have the complete record of the Word of God, this being joined with this by this. Isn't it beautiful? This is the design of God. And this is why, watch this. Look at this verse here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For He, Christ, is our peace, who had made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Did you get that? Remember, there was a veil in the tabernacle, something that separated the outside from God's throne. And what Christ did, you remember when He died? What happened? He said, "It is finished." And what happened in the temple? The veil rent in twain. Christ broke down the middle wall of partition between us. He brought us together. Verse 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Did you see that? And it's designed in our DNA. One is this way and one is this way, and it's the four that brings them all together. And that four represents Christ, who was the Son of God, and yet he was the Son of Man. He was conceived by God in a human woman. Christ brings the two together. He tears down the partition wall that separates us, which is sin, and he bridges and brings us together with our Heavenly Father. We have access now to the Father by the mediator Jesus Christ in the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. I love talking about this. I love saying it. Now watch this. I'm going to show you an occult symbol that shows you this side of it. Because for every truth of God, there is a direct opposite in Antichrist. Let me show you this symbol. This is the symbol. Notice this Jesus-looking character in the middle, stretching out like he's on a cross. This is the Sephiroth. This is what the Jews refer to in the Kabbalah, the Zohar, the tree of life. I found out that it's not the tree of life. It's actually the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because take a look at it. You have two sides to this emblem of this tree. And they tell you that one represents the masculine, one represents the feminine. One represents mercy, and one represents severity. You know what that is? They're opposites. Knowledge of good and evil. This tree is not the tree of life. This tree is what the devil lied to Eve and told her, if you eat of this tree, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the religion of the Jews right now. But I'm going to break this down for you. I'm going to show you the relation here. Number one, these lines that are going between these circles, they're called the 22 paths of the Kabbalah. 22 because each path corresponds to a Hebrew alphabet letter, or Aleph Beth letter. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew Aleph Beth. And if you don't believe that, read Psalm 119. You'll figure it out. All right? Stop and think about this. What was the Old Testament written in? Hebrew, and it's 22 letters. Okay? So watch this. These 22 lines are the 22 paths, and these 22 paths, the 22 letters of Hebrew, are the 22 nucleotides that when you have the different combinations of the four base pairs, you make what's called nucleotides, and there's 22 of them, and those nucleotides represent the letters that make up the book of our DNA. It's actually scientifically accurate, and this was theorized and dreamed and visionized by occult leaders in the Kabbalah hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of years ago. That's how long this has been around. Back before anybody knew anything about DNA, these guys were drawing circles and connected them with 22 lines. Anyway, they represent DNA. All right? Look at these 10 circles. These 10 circles are 10 divine beings, or 10 kings. And I want you to know, and stop right here. 10 kings. Did you catch that? The beast rises up out of the sea having 7 heads and what? 10 horns. And the book of Revelation tells you that the 10 horns are 10 kings who have no power yet. But they're going to have power one day soon. So these 10 circles represent 10 divine beings. And I want you to notice that there are 3 on each side, and they represent opposites. And in the middle, start at the feet and work up to the top, the kether, the crown, the Ein Sof, 1, 2, 3, 4. The 3 on this side represent sons of God. The 3 on this side represent daughters of men. And how are they joined together? By 4 things. And go back to this graphic here. The one at the top is the crown, the kether, the head. It's different than the other 3 that are lower. The other three are part of the body. The fourth one is higher up. It's part of the head. It's the same pattern here. Exact same pattern. So watch this. Sons of God, daughters of men. The iron kingdom. Part of iron and part of clay. And we're going to see the verse. They're mingled together and joined by the four elements. Earth, air, fire, and water. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. Let's look at what the scripture says about it. Psalm 139:16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Isaiah 34:16. So let me stop right here. We understand, we've talked about this for years. DNA is a book. God said DNA is a book. It's got all of our members written in it, and they were continually fashioned even before they appeared. They were already written in the book, and it's called God's book. Now look at Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. So he said, in the book of the Lord, seek ye out the book of the Lord. No one of these none shall want her mate. Because the DNA knows how to do it. Adenine always goes with thymine. That's her mate. Cytosine with guanine. That's her mate. In other words, the Bible's telling you that the two parts of your Bible are mated together by these four things. So I want you to look now. We're going to go back to Daniel chapter 2, looking and understanding the fourth kingdom. In verse 42, it has the toes of the feet. There's 10 of them, by the way. That's the 10 circles, the 10 divine beings. The toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay. So the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. God was setting this forth as a prophecy of what's going to happen in the last days. And Daniel knew it. He revealed it to Nebuchadnezzar. Now it's revealed to us exactly. What is seed? Seed is the word. What is it? It is the building block of everything that is alive. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, whether it's a celestial body or a terrestrial body, every seed is its own body. So it doesn't matter if it's celestial or terrestrial, it has seed, it has DNA, it has the book in it. And Daniel prophesied that these two things, iron and clay, they're opposites. They're going to mingle together. The key word here is mingle. They're going to mingle together in the seed of men. Literally, his four base pairs, DNA. Notice that it's the exact opposite of Bible Christianity, where Christ has brought us and God together in his body. In this case here, it is the iron kingdom mingling with miry clay, human beings, to bring forth something out of it. And this is a prophecy. And I believe for every prophecy in the Bible, God drew a picture of what it looks like. And I know what the picture is, and I'm going to show it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's read the scriptures. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Now I'm going to stop right here. What did we learn in the fourth book of the Bible was in the land of Canaan, in the book of Numbers? What did we learn there? Where the 10 spies representing the law tells us you can't have the promised land. You can't do it. That's the law telling us you can't go to heaven. You can't have eternal life. You're a sinner. You broke us. You broke the law. So the 10 come back from the promised land and tell everybody you can't go in there. Why? The people were all giants, sons of God, daughters of men. They were an earthly representation of this iron kingdom. And the 10 came back and said, you can't go in there. That's who's in it. Of course, the two come back, Joshua and Caleb. You know why they were two? Because in the new covenant, we have two laws.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a different covenant. It's a different law. It's a different spirit, isn't it? And those two come back and they tell everybody, listen, believe what God said. The Bible even says in Numbers that Caleb had a different spirit than everybody else did. He had God's spirit in him, the spirit of Christ testifying in him. You can go into this land. We believe God. God said we could have it. God said that land was ours. God said those giants are nothing to him. Why don't you believe that? And the people refused to believe the two. And they hung on to the ten. And God said he overthrew them in the wilderness. He would not let them see the promised land. But here's the point here. What was in Canaan land? Giants. And here's what God said. When you get into that land and you see those seven nations mightier than thou. Think about the number seven. We talked about this in the King James Code series, the number seven. You go back and listen to it for a little bit more information on it. These seven represent these. Remember, the beast comes up out of the sea. How many heads does he have? That's what these seven nations represent. The seven heads of the beast. And God said, when you get to that land and you see those God-forsaken people that are hybrids, they represent the Iron Kingdom, the seven nations mightier than there. Here's what God said in verse 2. When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, and thou shalt, look at here, make no what? Covenant with them. Let me stop right here. I just want to feel like preaching this for a minute. Covenant. You see, a covenant is a term just like the old covenant and the new covenant. And God was yet to promise this, but he had it in his mind already. In Jeremiah 31, God sent word to Israel, I'm going to give you, this is going to come to pass, that I'm going to give you a new covenant. Not like the one at Mount Sinai. Don't let anybody tell you that, oh, we got to go back and keep the Torah, got to go keep the law, because, you know, that's how we're good Christians, how we're really saved. That's not what God said. God said, I'm going to give you a new covenant. It's not going to be like the one at Sinai. I'm going to put my law in your inward parts instead of you carrying it around on your head. I'm going to put it in your heart, and I'm going to forgive all your sins. I'm going to give you grace. That's the new covenant. And God told them, when you get into that land, kill them, utterly destroy them. Don't make a covenant with them. No agreement, no promise. And then he said, nor show mercy unto them. And then verse 3, look at what God said. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou give take unto thy son. Now I'm going to show you this. It hadn't clicked yet. I'm going to show you this in graphic form. Look at this. You see on the outside, earth, air, fire, and water, being a representation of adenine, thymine, cytosine, guanine. And now notice it. Your son and their daughter coming together. Your daughter and their son coming together. God mentioned the four right there in Deuteronomy 7. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. And they're opposites, aren't they? Earth, air, fire, and water. Your son, their daughter. Your daughter, their son. Don't let them marry. Think of what is the culmination of the church age. What is it? It's the idea that we are the bride in waiting, waiting for the time when the midnight cry comes and the trumpet sounds, and we are caught up together to be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul said it in Ephesians 5. He said, I speak concerning Christ and the church. So think of the opposite. Think of what Mormons do in their temple with the square and compass on their sacred underwear. They have a mystery, secret ritual that joins the male with the female. They call it eternal waiting, and they say, when you do that, you're going to be gods. Did you catch that? That's what's in the mystery religions. That's part of the mystery of what's coming down the road, is that this Iron Kingdom, as the sons of God, are going to come and mingle themselves with the daughters of men and produce something. Those giants represented the hybrid of those two races coming together, joining together this kingdom and this kingdom. It's the exact opposite of what God did through Christ. And this is why God told them, Don't make marriages with them. Don't join together. Don't do anything. Kill them. Get rid of them. Why wouldn't God have mercy on them? Because they weren't human, and he knew that. God's not that mean. He knew that they were not human. And God told him, when you go in there, kill every one of them. They're an abomination to me. Wow. So now this thing about the pyramid kind of makes a little bit more sense now, doesn't it? We're going to have the earth, the air, the fire, the water. It's all going to be, the four things are going to be gathered together and joined together to make a new thing, a new man, just like what was prophesied and told the doctrine of Christ. So you just think about that. Now I'm going to show you what God showed me about 15 minutes before I started this camera rolling today. This, I hope it will click in your mind. I hope you'll say, now, Pastor, I just don't see that in the Bible anywhere. I think you're making that up. I think I got it. I think it's in the Scriptures, and I think this is what reveals it. Revelation chapter 17, verse 15. He saith unto me, the waters. I have that underlined for a reason. The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are, count them, peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Okay? You go read all of Revelation 17. At the beginning of Revelation 17, John sees the woman, and she is the mystery Babylon the Great, and she sits on many waters. Okay? By the way, there's a teaching in the Old Testament law that said when you had an unclean woman, and she's an unclean woman, she drinks blood. She has the blood of the martyrs of the saints. She is an unclean woman. She's a whore. She's a harlot. When an unclean woman who's having her issue, whatever she sits on is unclean. You think about that. Why is she sitting on seven mountains? Unclean. She's sitting on the waters. She's made them what? Unclean. So think about that. But here's what God said this meant. The waters where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Four things. And I'm just looking at this. I mean, this is all brand new with me, but I see peoples and multitudes and nations as being, like different groups of people. But the fourth thing here is a little bit different than the other three, isn't it? It doesn't have anything to do with their body type. It has everything to do with what? What comes out of their mouth, their tongues. That wicked member that James talked about in the book of James. All right? You follow me so far. Waters represent the four. And since we're looking at peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, that represents our DNA, our seed. All right? Now I'm going to show you something. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. You're going to like this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. And God said, let the waters, same word, under the heaven be what? Gathered together. Think of the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. The waters gather together. But what do we hear all the time about, they say, scientists tell us that our body is like 90% water, 70% water, something like that. So is this Bible wrong in using the analogy that the waters are peoples? No, it's not. We're mostly water. That's why we have to constantly hydrate ourselves all the time, every day. We'll die because we're water. We're dependent on water. So watch this. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together. All the people gathered together as one. That's what John Lennon was writing about in his song Imagine. That all the peoples of the earth joining hands being as one. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Anyway, under one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 10. Look at what God called the gathering together of the waters. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. So we have peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, which are the waters, and when they're all gathered together, God calls them the seas. Revelation 13. Where does the beast come from? the seas. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. By the way, I'm just throw this in here. I just happen to remember this and know this. You can check it out. Go to purebiblesearch.com and download the free software that a dear, sweet friend of ours wrote for our ministry and our church. Pure Bible Search software. Type in the word C-S-E-A, and look for it in the King James Bible. Exactly 400 times in the King James Bible. I'm not making that up. Okay? Where does the beast rise out of? The sea. What is the sea? God said it's when the waters, multitudes, peoples, nations, and tongues are gathered together. Now let's bring all of this down here. Let's boil that cabbage down, all right? That's an old hillbilly song. When the four are gathered together and become the sea, then the beast will rise up out of that sea. That's what I think is going to happen. That's what I think all of this pyramid stuff is talking about. That's what I think all of this mystery religion is talking about, and everything that we have seen in this fourth kingdom. Daniel chapter 2, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Genesis 6, sons of God, daughters of men. Deuteronomy 7, don't make marriages with your sons and their daughters and your daughters and their sons. Don't do it. God said, don't do it. Don't mingle the holy seed with these people. God said, don't do it. So here's what we're going to do next week. Next week, we're going to look at what happens when they gather all of these together. And all of this is in the pages of our King James Bible. Let me show you a graphic of a symbol of what it looks like when all of these nations are gathered together in one bundle. Let me show it to you. Lindsay, this is graphic 102 of these sticks bound together with a hatchet coming out of it. You see that? That's what it looks like when all the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues are gathered together as one bundle. Something's coming out of it, isn't it? And go back to look at this again. You see what's swirling around it? We're going to have fun. Actually, we're just going to revisit some things that we touched on, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago, something like that. But we're going to revisit it in the idea of new light and show you what the gathering of the four elements is going to do in the last days. And why you hear this call coming out from all the nations, all the businesses, all the economic systems of the world, all the religious systems of the world, all the educational systems of the world. Why is all of a sudden now, why are we all going to have to come together and be one? Why is there such a call for unity, for us to be the one? Why is that? We're going to see that next week from the Word of God. This is Pastor Mike. I love you. I thank God for you watching. I hope you're learning the truths of the Word of God. And I hope it's being a blessing to you. And we're going to keep on showing these things as God gives them to us. This is Pastor Mike. You tell God thank you if you've been blessed today. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.